Try this. So we're on Daf Yud Amud Aleph, actually going on to Yud Amud Beis, and we're talking about the possibility of a chotzer being kone, even if it's a chotzer she'ena mishtameres, as long as the Baal, even long distance, he's not omei b'tzad sadeu, if he desires that his field should be kone. The Gemara says the following. I'm sorry, I meant to say Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. The Gemara says that, if we can close that door, just like shove it a little bit. Thanks. The Gemara says that I'm going to prove to you from a Mishnah in Master Sheni. This I don't know. Ask me an easier question. That the story of Rabbi Gamliel and his Canaan is going to teach us that you don't have to be Omid Litzad Sadeh. Why? Because they were in a boat, and Rabbi Gamliel reminded himself that he had left Peros back in his house, and he wasn't Mafresh Maser from them. And if that be the case, Rabbi Gamliel has to be Choshesh that maybe his household members will rely on him that before he left on this trip, he was Mafresh Maser, and they're going to eat from this fruit based on the Cheskes Chaver Sheina Motzi Mitachas Yod Dov Sheina Ma'usar. Now, it's a little bit strange because generally speaking, when we say Chazok on a person, we rely on a person that he's not motzi mitachas yodo dovashen masuka, and that's only if, let's say, he dies or he goes to a far off place and he has no intention of coming back for a long time. So, you know, I'm just pointing out that one thing we haven't even touched on in this sugya, maybe we'll get to it, is whether or not this principle of chazaka should apply here, and why Ram Gamliel felt the burden on his shoulders, the tremendous weight on his shoulders to be Mafresh Maser when he's on the boat. So Omar Ram Gamliel. So let's all open up to the Gemara on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, and we're going over what we did yesterday. That's before, Sammy, we officially start the shiur.
That's not
okay. So Amram Gamliel Isur Shani Osid Lomu. So I'm going to in the future be Mafresh Maser. But again, to be Mafresh Maser, you have to give it over to the Levi in order to remove the Isur Tevel. He's got to give it to the Levi. Now, great, but he can't set it aside far, you know, long distance, remote. He's on a boat, and his payers are back in Yerushalayim, wherever they are. So how does he give it over to the Levi? You know, if the Levi can make a kinyan on Maser, then that would remove the Isur Tevel. But how is he going to be maknit to the Levi? I mean, he was lucky that amongst the Zekanim who were with him on the boat was Yoshua ben Chananya, who is a Levi. You know, here in the ELC, I mean, we're lucky if we ever find a Levi, you know what I'm saying? That's why, John, did you get that hint? But anyway. That I don't know. That's an interesting question. Could Ram Gamliel be Makda, his...
Somebody else? Or
somebody. Yeah, but the only problem is that in order to be Makna the Maser to the Levi, right? So what kinyan can he do on behalf of the Levi? Do you follow what I'm saying? Zochli on the Fanov is going to have to operate in such a way that the Levi could now make a kinyan on the Maser. So if you take a look at the Gemara says that the only way he was able to give the Levi a kinyan on the Maser was through Chotzer. How do you accomplish the Chotzer? Makoma Muskalo. Correct? So he had to rent out the space in his chatzer long distance in order that his chatzer could now be kone. When I say his chatzer, I mean Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's chatzer could be kone the Maser Rishon through chatzer, correct? Now, the peros are in the chatzer of Gamliel, so the only way that Rabbi Yeshua could be kone the peros is by acquiring ownership on the chatzer of Gamliel. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya paid money, probably a symbolic amount of money, to Rav Gamliel, and in so doing he now made a kinyan schirus on the chatzer of Rav Gamliel. So now the chatzer is owned by Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya the Levi, and through this chatzer he can be kone the peros that are in the chatzer. Let's just go on for another minute and then we'll see the Gemara's proof. V'isar acher, now he's chayav in what's called maser oni, shani osid lamud, so Rav Gamliel declares that I have to be mafresh maser oni, so that was the year maser oni, like 306, is nosin lakiva ben Yosef, he was the gabait stoka, kidei she yizkev bo la'aniyim, so that he'll be Zocha in the Aniyim. He was the Gabbai Tztoka, and he'll be Zocha in this Maaser Oni for the Aniyim. How is that possible? Is Makoma Muskalo. Once again, Akiva Ben Yosef is going to have to give Rav Gamliel a little bit of money, a Shava Pruta, and he'll be Kone, the Makom, the Chatzer, through Kinyan Schirus. So he's Kone, the Chatzer, through Kinyan Schirus, and now all the masa that's on that chatzer, he's going to be kona. Say it again.
He can still be an ani.
Right. Okay. But the Gemara says that he wasn't an ani. He was being zoch on behalf of the aniim, as the rabbi said before, zoch on the other shalom b'fada. But I don't know if right now he has to be zoch on behalf of the aniim, or let's say he doesn't have to be zoch on behalf of any particular ani. That he could decide later on. But he could be zoche in the tztaka on behalf of the Aniyim. Let's call it Shevet Aniyim, you know. So the Gemara asks the following question. If Rabbi Yeshua is being zoche through his chatzah, which is muskalo, in the Maaser Rishon, and Rabbi Akiva is being koneh through his chatzah, which is muskalo, for the Aniyim, in fact, the Gemara, Betzad Sadeh Shal Ram Gamliel, how you owned him? This is a rhetorical question. I mean, obviously the chatzah was very far away from them, very distant. Now, how could a chatzah be koneh if the Bailim are not near the chatzah? But we have to add another point, another variable into this equation. And that's going to be Tosis Divri Amaschil V'chi Betzad Sadehu. You see that the last Tosis on the page. And Tosis wants to know, where were these peros? The peros were in the bias of Rav Gamliel. If that be the case, then it's a chotzer mishtameretz. So Tosis answers, which again, I don't want to get into this right this second, but just to get it in, you know, in broad strokes, we're just reviewing what we did yesterday. Tosis says that since the peros of Rav Gamliel were mixed together, right, he's only giving up 10% here and 10% there, but the rest of the 80% are Rav Gamliel's own peros. So that's not called mishtameres on behalf of the balachotz. The balachotz being Rabbi Yeshua or Yosef or Akiva ben Yosef, because there was no hefsek. Tosfos says between his tefuah, meaning Rabbi Gamliel's tefuah, and their tefuah. So since there was no hefsek, if they would come and want to claim, well, that's our tefuah, they would not be able to do so. And that makes it into a chotzer sheinu mishtameres. So now we have a problem. Because if it's a chotzer sheinu mishtameres, we saw in the previous sugya of Ula, that Ula says, like Rabbi Yehuda before him, that a chotzer sheinu mishtameres is only kona when it's Omei Bitzad Sadeu. So here we don't have Omei Bitzad Sadeu. How can they be Kona through Chotzer? Now, Ula was not impressed by this kasha. The Makshan was Rabbi Abba. Ula was the attack, you know, he's being attacked by this kasha. And all Ula would say is kind of a rank out, if you will, to Rabbi Abba. He says to him, Dami hai mi rabbanan. He speaks to him in third person, you know, Veloshen Nistar. And he says, it seems to me that this rabbi is kelo gomir inshi d'shmaita. He's like one of those people who never knew how to learn. So the Gemara says that there's a part B to this story. Rabbi Abba shows up in a place called Surah. And Amar Lahu, he speaks to the Chachamim of Surah. He tells them his kasha on Ula. He tells them what Ula responded to him. Hachi Amar Ula, v'hachi osvinhi. So he was wondering, does anybody here in Surah can say, they tell me why Ula was not impressed by this kasha? Amar Lahu mi Rabbanan. So one of the Talmidim there, one of the Chachamim, said to Rabbi Abba, again, Rabbi Abba is the Makshon, and this Ha'umir Rabbanan is trying to explain why Ula was not impressed by his kasha. He says Rabbi Gamliel was not being Makna the Maser through Kinyan Chotzer, but rather Metaltali Agav Makarkoi Hiknalehem. He was operating with the Kinyan of Agav. And the halach is the following, that if I want to be makna you both karka and metaltalin, then you could be kona the metaltalin without a kinyan on the metaltalin, agav the karka. And in such a case, the metaltalin could be nicknamed even below tziburin, which means that you don't even need that the metaltalin be inside the karka, inside the chotzer. You just need a maisak na on both the karka and the metaltalin. So what Rabbi Gamliel was able to achieve here and completely circumvent the need for a kinyan chotzer is he was able to be makna karka and metaltalin at the same time. So he's makna karka with a kinyan kesef, which means that Akiva ben Yosef or Yeshua ben Chananya would pay a certain minimum amount of money to Rav Gamliel. They would now acquire ownership in the karka. That's called the Kinyan Schirus. But Agav, the Kinyan karka, they would be koned in the metaltalin as well. The metaltalin meaning the peros. And it doesn't even make a difference whether the metaltalin is in the chotzer or not, because he's being makna karka, the chotzer, not as a chotzer so much, but as a kinyan agav, which means that in the first understanding, which was that of Rabbi Abba, that this mechanics was chotzer, then you would need the peros to be inside the chotzer, correct? There's no such thing as peros here and chotzer there for chotzer to operate. But if you're dealing with a kinyan agav, then it doesn't matter where the peros are. They don't have to be in the karka. So that's what we gain over here, that that Rabbi Gamliel was going to be the mocher, he was going to be the makneh, he was going to be makneh to the kone, in this case Rabbi Yeshua, he would be makneh to him both karka and metaltalin, the karka meaning the makomo muskarlo, and that was effectuated by a kinyan mos, kinyan kesef. And at the same time, he's being mocked in the Kenyan on the Peros, which are Maiser, in a Kenyan Agav. Rav Zera Kible, Rav Zera had no problem accepting this answer of Ahumi Rabbanon. Rabbi Abba lo Kible. Rabbi Abba did not accept this answer of the Ahumi Rabbanon. So Omar Rava, Shapir Ovid, Delo Kible. Rabbi Abba made a good decision by not accepting this answer. Why is that? And the answer is because of Kinyan Chalipin. In other words, forget about Rabbi Yeshua or Rabbi Akiva purchasing land and spending whatever they'd have to spend in order to be kone the chotzer. In other words, if we're operating midin agav, v'chilo hoyolahem sudar liknos v'menu b'chalipin, Did they not have a turban that they could have used, or any kli, to be kone b'toras chalipin? In other words, karka is nicknames b'chalipin. And therefore they could have been kone the karka with chalipin without having to pay money. So this is Rava's kasha. Why did they have to purchase ownership, schirus, in the karka in order to effectuate a kinyan on the payros? Why couldn't they just simply operate with a kinyan chalipin? Okay, he has a whole discussion here about kinyan chalipin, where it comes from, Boaz and Rus, that Boaz wanted to acquire all the rights to the estate, and he did so with a kinyan sudar. Okay, fine, I'm not interested in that right now. I just want to get through the Shakla Vitaria of the Gemara right now. So now Rava says, I have an answer to this question. Why is it that he couldn't be Kona, let's say Rabbi Yeshua Ben Chanani, could not be Kona the Masros with the Kinyan Sudar? And the answer is, and once we answer this question, then we're going to answer another question as to why Agav couldn't work either. And the answer is because Rav Gamliel does not actually own the Maser. He doesn't have bailus over the Maser to be makna it, because the only thing that he has in the Maser, instead of bailus, he has a Tovas Hanah. The Torah gave him rights to decide to which Levi he wants to give the Maser. And Tovas Hanah ain't a mamon. What does that mean, Tovas Hanah in a moment? Although he has rights and zchuyot, you know, in this moment to give it to any Levi he chooses, but he doesn't own the goof. He doesn't own the goof ha-peri. The peri is not his. Liknos mimenu. Liknos. Now, I don't understand something here. What does he mean by liknos mimenu? Liknos. I think what he means is that the makna cannot be kona, so the kona cannot be kona, if you find me. So liknos mimenu is not a problem of Yeshua ben Chananya. It's only a problem for Yeshua ben Chananya because the bailim here, meaning Rav Gamliel, is not really a bailim. So he doesn't have the koach, he doesn't have the authority or the possession rights to be makna. And Tovas Hanoyin Mamon, so Chalipin, which would have been otherwise a pretty valid possibility as to how Rav Chananya could have acquired ownership over the karka, but it couldn't work here. Why? Because Tovas Hanoyin Mamon. Hochanami, Tovas Hanoyin Mamon Liknos Al Gabi Karka. So in other words, the Kenyan Agav could not work either. Why? Because in order to be maknitim agav karka, he has to own the metaltalin that he's being maknitim agav karka. But the metaltalin have the status of maser, and the status of maser is only what? Is only tovas hanah. Okay, now we have to get to chotzer. So therefore, let's just make the calculation. So Rava rejects the answer of the chacham, of that ahumi rabbanon, who understood that Rav Gamliel was not makna through chotzer, but rather he was makna the maser through agav. And the answer is, if he was makna through agav, why did the tanoim have to acquire ownership through kesef in the karka when they could have done so with a sudar? So the answer has to be that there was no possibility of being makne the karka through suda because tovas hanoyin mamon, and therefore, if so facto, there was no possibility of being makne through kinyan agav, right? Because kinyan agav would also require that he's makne the metaltlin agav karka, and the metaltlin he cannot be makne because he doesn't own the metaltlin. Now let's talk about chotzer, and then we have the cheshvan, and then Rabbi, the floor is yours. I just want to get the cheshvan, so we have the picture. V'al karchach, sorech lomar kedivrei Rabbi Abba, shazikedim konuas amasros bekinyan chotzer. Now, the obvious question is, why don't we go ABC? You know, once you're telling me that there's no possibility of kinyan sudar, because Tovas Hanoyin Mamon, so they couldn't acquire ownership on the on the peros of maser because Rabbi Gamliel doesn't have the power to be machne. B, Rabbi Gamliel could not be machne the peros with a kinyan agav, because just like suda doesn't work if you don't have ownership over the mos, over the peros, so too agav doesn't work. You can't be machne the peros agav karka. So then how could he be machne the peros agav chotzer, which was Rabbi Abba's proof. Again, Rabbi Abba wanted to prove that chotzer operates even b'eino omed b'tzad sadeu. Why is chotzer meaningful? Do you follow my point over here? How could he be machne the maser sheni, I'm sorry, the maser rishon or the maser oni with a kinyan chotzer if tovus hanoyin of mama? So I think what's going on here, again, Rabbi Osei, this is very, how do you say, beravon mugbal, you know, with limited liability, because I gave you that page, and we'll go through that page. It seems to me that what's happening is that Rabbi Gamliel is not being machne the peros to Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua is being kone the karka with the kinyan kesef as a chotzer, and Rabbi Gamliel is only exercising his rights of what? Tovus hanoah. Once Rabbi Gamliel exercises his rights of tovus hanoah, he doesn't have to be machne the peros of maser to the Levi, because the Levi has a kinyan on the maser's midin what? Midin chotzer. So again, let's go over this. If Rabbi Gamliel is being machne the metaltalim, which is the peros, either with a kinyan agav, meaning agav karka, I'm being machne you both karka and metaltalim, or with a kinyan sudar. But again, a kinyan sudar would only be meaningful in order to effectuate a kinyan on the karka. Now the kinyan on the metalton would have to be a separate kinyan on the metalton, agav karka, that he doesn't have the power to do. But the answer is that chotzer could operate here. Why does chotzer operate here? Because what Rav Gamliel has in this peros maser is a tofes hanoah. And now all he has to do is choose the levy of his choice. And if the levy of his choice has the peros of maser in his chotzer, is mebele, he's going to be kone through his chotzer. The problem is that it's eino ome b'tzad sadeh. Yeah, Rabbi, I'm sorry. I just had to get the cheshbon. Sorry.
Cheshbon's good. The problem with me is you're telling me that Rabbi Gamliel doesn't have any bialus to the maser rishon.
I wouldn't say he doesn't have any bialus. He doesn't have enough bialus to be machne.
How is that possible? He has a chiyuv to give maser rishon.
Right.
All right. So you have to say the chiyuv is his. The stuff has to belong to him in order for him to mekayim a mitzvah of maaser rishon. So there has to be balas. You're telling me he plants all these crops, and a portion of that doesn't belong to him?
No. What I'm saying is the following: there's a two-stage process. Stage number one is called, excuse me, let me get to the language of the Gemara, is called isur shani osid lomod. Right at the point when he says Isur Shani Osid Lomod, at that point he's mafresh the maser. Correct? Now the question is, how do we get to the next stage in which Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, not ben Korcha, what's his name, ben Chananya, how is he going to get ownership over the maser? Again, the balas soda was mafresh's maser. That's fine, but now how does he transfer ownership over that maser, which is already maser, to the Levi? So if he gives it to the Levi, let's say in a normal case, not the case where they're on the boat, so then he takes the maser that he was mafresh and he does an asina and he gives it over to the Levi. Then he's exercising his rights of tovas hanoah. But the Gemara is assuming
tovas hanoah and no kinyan.
It could be that in such a case the Levi would be kind of a kinyan yad. In other words, he has it in his hand, or a kinyan chotzer. But the only problem is, what if the Levi is not around? you know, and he's away from his chatzer, then how is he going to be kohen? So b'manafshach yad he doesn't have because he's not there.
So you introduced a middle ground that I didn't know of before,
right?
And that's the hafrasha. The hafrasha takes it out of his rishus,
right?
And but not yet into the levi's rishus,
right?
Okay, so that's the point that I'm missing. That I was missing. Fine.
The only question you have to ask me now, which I don't know the answer to, so don't even ask me, is why isn't that enough, meaning stage one, to remove the Issur Tevel? Right? The whole point of Rav Gamliel, he's very nervous, he's angst because he's on a boat and his parents are back there, and his household are gonna take they're gonna assume that it wasn't Tevel, it was Chulin, right? But why? Why our whole sugya is assuming that Rabbi Gamliel had to go one step further? It wasn't enough that he would be mafrish the masa. That can't remove the Issur Tevel. He's got to get it into the rishus of Yeshua. That's what I don't understand. Wouldn't it be enough? At what point do you remove the Issur Tevel? It's only after Nesina, Liad Kohen, or Liad Levi, whatever it is, Truma, Masa. I would have said no. It's once you have that frasha, that's enough to remove the Issur Tevel. So why is Rav Gamliel so anxious to be makna the Tevel to Rav Yeshua ben Chananya, and he has to give him a kinyan in the karka, and agav the karka, or you know, make it into a chutz or whatever it might be? That's the point I don't have.
We don't do that today. We don't give it to the Levi. Just mafresh and it's sufficient.
Right. So why do we have to go that extra stage, that extra step, and be machne to him? So Rebosa, if you have these pages that I gave you, let's see if we can spend a little time here. So on the left column, you'll see a paragraph that starts Esve Rabbi Abba Le'ula.
Which page is it?
It would be the equivalent of Tuf Kuf Yud Dalid, which you'll see on the left side of your page.
Yeah,
do you have that? Okay, so let's see what we have here. Now first, if you could just peruse the numbers here, because it's very interesting. Who's talking? I always like to know who's speaking. So he has a ktsos, and he has some sort of a sefer called Divrei Talmud. So I'm just going to tell you who wrote this sefer. That usually in 99% of the case, I don't. The name doesn't mean anything to you, but maybe we'll luck out. And he says that the Divrei Talmud. He has a list here in the back. Just one second. Rabbi Avram Elio Kaplan, unfortunately, doesn't ring a bell. Okay, but anyway, well, at least the ktsos I heard of, so we'll see to what extent he bases himself on the ktsos. Okay. Now, before we do this, I just want to make one point. If you don't mind flipping your page for a second, on Tuf Kuf Tes Vav, which is the flip side of your page, if the photocopy came out right, which I'm not responsible for the photocopy. Yeah, you have such a page? So, no?
Yep.
Okay, so I apologize.
Okay.
Somebody will get here a little early and take this off my head. So anyway, on that page, if you had it, just imagine that there was an arrow on the side of the page, Yosef, just imagine. Anyway, if you had the page and if you saw the arrow on the other side of the page, I just want to point out to you that the Rashash here and elsewhere, because this sugya also appears in Kedusha, he says that Rav Gamliel and Zakenim, this whole story that we're learning about is all predicated on one sheet in the Gemara, which is called Yesh Brera. Why? Because I can't be machna to you something unless it's specified. Now, he has to specify two things. Number one, he has to specify the maser in order to achieve Hafrosh's maser. And then that specified maser now has to get over to the Levi through a kinyan to the Levi. We're not exactly sure why, but we want to make sure that the Levi gets his maser. And he hasn't specified anything. All he said was, you know, Isur Shani Asid Lamud. So that gets you heavy into a sugya breira, which is in many places in Shas. And what it means is that l'mafreya, we're going to be able to find out exactly what was specified. Right now, at stage one, it's not specified. Later, it's going to be specified. And the question is, does the later specification operate l'mafreya retroactively to the original statement, as if from that moment in time it was specified? So when Rav Gamliel gets home, he's going to determine which of these peros is actually maser. So he's going to do the maisa frush at that point. Now it's going to be chala mafreya because of the din of breira, you know, like Yiftach, right? Who is it, Yiftach? Who was it in Tanakh that the daughter went out of the thing? It was Yiftach, right? So that's the sugya breira. You know, can he take a neder which will only be specified later on when she's the first one to go out of the door? You know what I'm saying? And that's a great sugya. So I just want you to keep in mind as we go through this sugya that it would seem, until I know otherwise, that this whole sugya is predicated on the premise of yesh breira. Because otherwise the whole deal is off. You can't be machnas something that's unspecified. In fact, you can't even be mafresh trumas and maestros if you hold ein breira, unless you specify where the trumas and maestros are going to be chal. Mm-hmm. So I just want to show you where we want to get to today. That's our ultimate destination. Yesha digdei, lama lo hiksha Rabbi Abba ala mishna begitin. L'chora, if Rabbi Abba wants to prove that you can be kona in a chotzer she'ena mishtameres even without this requirement of omeid b'tzad sadeh, he's got a mishnah in Gittin, in the parak, I think it's called Hazorik. So what does it say over there? It says he betoch besa. One second. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me flip it around. If Rabbi Abba is axe to grind here, his agenda is to prove that you could be konen a chotzer through your chotzer even without omi b'tzatzadeu. So before he attacks Ula, he should attack a mishnah. Why? Because the mishnah says that a man can give a get to his wife as a chot, and she's coded the get as a chotzer, as long as I state in the Mishnah, he betoch besa. So you see that the Mishnah itself requires omid b'tzad sadeh. According to Rabbi Abba, if he never accepted the principle and the requirement of omid b'tzad sadeh, how is he going to justify the Mishnah that sets up a condition when, under what condition, you know, the Mishnah stipulates that under what circumstances can she be kona get? It's only if she's betoch besa. Why do we need betoch besa? Let her be in Ashkash. I mean, we don't need omei b'tzad sadeh. And again, you could always argue that the Mishnah is talking about a case of a chatza mishtameres, but then the kasha is even more strong, because then even Rabbi Abba is going to have to try to figure out why we need hibetoch besa. Who needs hibetoch besa? So Rabosai, before we get to see the Divrei HaTalmud, I'm going to give you Divrei HaTalmud Shel HaTalmud, meaning I'd like to suggest my own answer to this question. Birshuschem. There are two dinim in get, and two requirements in get. Mm-hmm. One of them is very unique to get, and it would not have any impact in Dini Momenos. It's a specific requirement in Get. The Rambam, when he opens up Hilchas Gerushin, he has a list of 10 requirements in Get. For the Gerushin to be Chal, you have to fulfill 10 requirements. And one is that she has to become aware of the fact that she's getting a Get. That's called Mishalcha V'yena Chozeres. Do you remember this? Like, for example, in the case of a ketana, the problem with giving her a get is that she's a mishalcha v'choser. She's not aware of the fact that she's being divorced. Right, so the father married her off, and she's a ketana, and she's mekudeshes d'oraisa, and now she needs a get. And the problem is that she's mishalcha v'choser. So, for example, if you open up the Mishnah there on Daf Ayin Zayin, I don't have a Gemara Gittin right now in front of me, but you'll see that the Mishnah says that if he puts a get in Hakulsa, there's a different way of pronouncing that word, but anyway, we in the yeshivas we pronounce the Kulsa. Today they learn the laws of
Kalata,
right? They learn the laws of Digda. It's like, you know, Rav Lichtenstein would never call it Croesus, you know. There's no such thing as Masechta Croesus. It's Kare Tot, you know. But when I went to yeshiva, it was called Masechta Croesus. He changed the name for the Masechta. Okay, fine. In any event, so it says, Nosan lo get b'kol kol, so v'hi yeshena. And she's asleep.
She does not know.
And then the Mishnah says, again, I'm reading the Mishnah by rote here, so you'll open up the Mishnah to see if I didn't invent this. But the Mishnah says, Eira, she wakes up. Vehine higita migureshes. So why did the Mishnah add that prerequisite, that condition that she has to wake up, and she reads the get, and lo and behold, it's a get. And the answer is because in Gittin, it's not enough that she makes a kinyan on the get. There's another requirement that she should be aware. She has to have a yediyas haget, and otherwise she'll be a mishalcha v'chozeres. So it could be that this might be the answer. Oh, this is the Mishnah?
This is the Beis HaTalmud or whatever.
Oh, Beis HaTalmud?
Whatever it's called.
Divrei HaTalmud. Divrei HaTalmud. This reminds me of the last sugi we learned about Hein Shliach L'Dvar Avera. Okay, the Divrei HaTalmud. So hold on to this Yechiel for a minute, because I know I'm going to lose it. See if you can... Okay, see if you can read it over. And in any event, what I'm trying to suggest is, we'll see what the Divrei HaTalmud says, but that the reason why you need, when the Mishnah adds v'hibasoch besa, what the Mishnah wants to do is not fulfill the requirements of chatzer, which again would be a problem for Rabbi Abba, because he denies that chatzer requires only b'tzad sadeu. So why do we have to get this isha into the chatzer? And the answer is because the Mishnah wants to make sure that you realize that there's an additional condition. It's not just hilchas kinyanim of kol ha'torah kula, and it's not sufficient that she acquires the get, because for that she could be an ashkash, according to Rabbi Abba. But we need yediya. We need that she be a mishalcha v'ena chozeres. Okay. Having said that, let's see what he has to say. Now, afilu Rav Oshia. Okay, that's a sugya also in Gittin. She'eno matzuch shetehe b'toch besa. So again, we'd have to go through the details, but apparently, that's what Divrei HaTalmud is pointing out, that if you look through the Gemara in Gittin, even Rav Oshia, who doesn't require that she stands inside the house, but he requires that the chatzah be a chatzah mishtameres. Meaning, you have two possibilities according to Rav Oshia. Either it's a chatzah sheina mishtames, but she's omeres b'tzad sodehu, she's b'tof besa, or she's not b'tof besa, but it's a chatzah mishtameres. So in Manavshach, the sugya there supports our sugya that a chatzah sheina mishtameres requires omei b'tzad sodehu. It's true that in a chatzah mishtameres you wouldn't require omei b'tzad sodehu, and therefore Rav Oshia thinks that Besa is a Chatzah HaMishtameres, and therefore we don't need that she be there. That's only because it's a Chatzah HaMishtameres. Rav Oshia would agree that if it would have been a Chatzah She'ein HaMishtameres, you would definitely require the Hebesof Besa.
What does Mishtameres do?
Mishtameres makes it into a yad. In other words, once I have, you know, I have it in my chutz, and my chutz is protected. It's mamish like yodah shel adam. You know, chashuva kamakam dalad al dalad. It's like he's holding it in his hand. Ubemaisa sharan gamliel lo haisa tvua mishtameres ledas hazkenim. That's Tosfos. Let's see if he mentions. Oh, that's the Tosfos, correct? Oh, the kasav liyashev. Alpia Yisod. Oh, this is the Ktzos. Okay, so let's just mention here, there's a tremendous machlokas, again, he's not aware of it, between the Ktzos and Reb Chaim. The Ktzos held, that I've mentioned to you on many occasions, that get requires nosan biyada. There's no need for kinyan. Reb Chaim was very opposed to this. You know, in the Shiurim, the Rav would quote Reb Chaim, who quoted the Ktzos, only to disagree with the Ktzos. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but whenever the Rav quoted Achron, it was only because Rav Chaim dings on the Achron, you know. So that's what it was. So whenever Rav Chaim disagreed with the Minchas Chinuch, for example, we would quote the Minchas Chinuch because Rav Chaim disagreed. And even when he quoted Rav Kiveg, it was usually because Rav Chaim disagreed with Rav Kiveg. Like the case of those who are with me with Chulin, of whether a Maisa Kot and a Maisa Vera, a Kot is a Maisa Vera. Rav Chaim said yes, but Rav Kiveg said no. So he says the following: Beget eino tzarech kinyan. This is the famous ktsos. Rak nesina liyad ha'isha. So it says v'nosan biyada. Now, again, we have zillions of sugyas that derive hilchas kinyanim from the mishnayos in Gittin that are trying to validate the gerushin. I mean, we got to validate the gerushin in this way and in that way, and she has to have a chotz mishtameres or a chotz shei mishtameres. I mean, all these pilpulim are all in order to get her an acquisition over the get. If you remember the story that I once told you about the get that was in the envelope, does anybody remember that? And he put the envelope on the table, and he said to her, "You got a letter from your old aunt, you know." And she opens the letter and she finds a get inside of it. I mean, those were all the halachas of kinyanim. But the ktsos was not impressed. Again, we have to understand how he reinterprets all those. But he says, "Where do you find in the Torah that the Torah requires that she, in order to get a gerushin, has to acquire an ownership over the get?" The kaman should beget her ikur lekaimes venosim viyoda sova rabbi abba sheefsha should get sorcha mido bitzad beisa kedesha tia doma lenesinas yad mamish. Again, it's very similar to what we wanted to say, that this is a special requirement in get because of the halachas of gerushin, and the Torah requires venosim viyoda. So if she's not omedes betoch beisa, then it's not called yoda. And we have to get to the point where it's an asinus yad mamish, that he's giving the get into our hand. So how is he giving it into our hand? I mean, it's not in our hand, it's in our bias. But the answer is that her bias now is like an extension of our hand. And in order to get to that level in which a chotzer is an extension of her yad, we need omid b'tzad sudeh. Mashenke b'shar dvarim. I would have used a different phrase. I would have said, "Mashein kein behilchas kinyanim bekol Torah kula sheikra zchia." We don't need an asina liyada. We need just zchia. You could be zocher is ein tzarich hamida b'tzad chatzer ulefichach lo hiksha el al ula shematzarich hamida b'tzad gam bi'alma. Bi'alma means beyond the confines of a get. So that's the divrei haTalmud, the way it's quoted here. Very nice. Very nice, because otherwise it's really strange that Rabbi Abba would maintain that in a chatz shenim shtameres you don't need omid b'tzad sadehu. What is he going to do with the Mishnah in Gittin? The Mishnah in Gittin requires that she's betoch beis. So the answer is that's a requirement that's generated by Hilchas Gittin under Venosim V'yado, but not a universal halach in Hilchas Kinyana. Nechleku rishonim bebira maisa atzon. Rashi pirish nizkar shelo isa masrosu v'choshash pen yochlu anshe beso. Alkei miher la'aser basher heim shom. Metosus hikshu kama kushos. Rishona dechazok al chaver is enu elu b'chaver shemes. O b'holach v'en daitu losh v'adikav v'kamenosam. Shreb gamliel al-karcha lo liyomim rabim holach dim lo ken eich yotzu beso hifrish. So it must be that he went out for a very short trip. And if he went out for a very short trip, we don't apply the din of chazaka. So no one would assume that he was mafrish before he went on in a short trip. So let's say, for example, you're a member of a household, and the balabayas goes off on a cruise for 3 days. So he's on a 3-day cruise, and you want to know these fresh fruits, are they Tevel or was he mafrish? So the answer is you cannot assume cheskas chaver because he's only going on a 3-day trip. Uvedas Rashi kosov afarshim shesosh haholech l'derech afil yomim mu'atim. He would definitely not check out of his house even for a short trip. How does he know he's going to get back on time? And therefore he would be mafrish. Rav Gamliel left without being mafresh. He was torahed in a dvar mitzvah. Nevertheless, but a base of Rashaim lismachal of midin rov. So for this Rabosa, I don't know if any of you were here when we learned Masechta Pesachim. And the question is, a maskir to socher, if he rents the house on Yudal B'Nisan, can he assume that the maskir was bodek the bias? So the Gemara says that it should be like the case of Tevel, that if somebody packs out, then you assume that before he packed out of his house, he would certainly have been mafrish, trumas, and maisris. Because chazok al chov v'sheinu meniach yodo mitachas yodo v'sheinu mesukah, and the same thing should apply in the case of bedikas chometz. Now he says the following. This is a chiddush of Rav Moshe Feinstein. He says that b'psochim mashma shechazok azu eino kevadai gomur. Whoa. That's exactly the opposite of what I learned from my Rebbe. But one second, let me just think. First of all, I want to know why is this relevant? Just one second. So he was Mamar Lidvar Mitzvah, and the Bnei Bayis are able to be Somech Midin Rov. I don't know. How does he know it's Midin Rov? Just one second. The Gemara says that if what? That if we add, I don't know, not sure why he says it's a din rov here. Now you can flip the page. The od kosvu, and furthermore, he writes that bitseiso hoisa hatvua mechubar. Wow, it was not yet cut off. I don't get it. If it's not cut off, so why would they have relied on a chazokah? Let's see. V'lohoy yochel lahafrish. It was impossible. Rak yochel hoy losis reshus litron el shishochach. So I don't know. Is this an answer for Rashi, or is this a whole new pshat in the Gemara? Just one second. V'das Rashi kosva mafarshim, etc., that he was rushing to the Dvar Mitzvah, he wasn't Mafrish, they thought he was Mafrish. The Ode Shebetseso Hoysa Tvua Vimechubar. So why would they, and Rashi says they would have relied on him, I'm not sure what he means over here. So it was Mechubar. Just one second. If it was Mechubar, so there's no Afrashim Mechubar. And then what happened? I guess somebody cut it down, because Rashi is saying they would eat it. They would eat it as tevel. He was nervous about that. Pen yochlu anoshim bebeso. So I guess somebody cut it down. But if they cut it down, why would they assume that he was mafresh? Ah, hayochel lasayis reshus litron. They're going to assume that he must have appointed someone to replace him and be mafresh. Yeshua, I don't know. This sounds a little bit far out to me. Od hikshu lama nosnam. Oh, my kasha, Rabbi. Here's my kasha. You see it? Lama nosnam. Why do you have to give it over to Yeshua ben Hananya? All he had to do was be korei shem. I think he's asking my kasha. I'd like to believe he's asking my kash. I don't know. Who is it? If I like his name, then I'll tell you he's asking my kash. Let's see. 88. He says, is this the wrong one? Oh, yes. This is the Pnei Yoshua. Just one second. No. I'm sorry. This is the wrong one. Oh, so this is going to be 89. Mayone Achachma. He's a brilliant fellow. He was the Mayone Achachma. The Kosvu Shenosan Miyad Mishum Shechoshish Lamaltiacher. Ooh, that's a lumbish answer. No, it's as far as removing. Again, I don't understand. Again, once again, I have to ask if this is Rashi or this is a whole new pshat. because Rashi says that they were that his nervous tension was because they would eat it as tevel. He's already solved the problem of tevel, but why does he go another step further? Because Baltiacher is the Nesina. So that's already a separate thing. Ah, I got it. I think he's learning that Zevezeh Gorim. In other words, there were two causes of anguish. And one leads to the other. Meaning that he has to solve the problem of Tevel so that his children would not eat from the Tevel. But in doing so, he incurs another problem. Because once he's Mafish Maser, he has a problem of Baltiacher. Now, I'm not sure exactly what the dinim of Baltiacher is. I mean, usually we give him three regalim
in order.
And so what's he saying? Gam kodim zman abir. So again, for that, you'd have to know more about Baltiacher. I guess the Sugin Rosh Hashanah, if I remember correctly. Where is he quoting it? 89. Oh, this is also the Pnei Yoshua. Rabbi Yeshua Levi Ani Hoya. How does he know that? Rabbi Akiva Over Aniim Not. Alvin Insa Shemasrosov Kidstokov. It's, oh wow, that's pretty sharp. Who is this? This is the Mayoni Achachma. Oh, he's saying that Rabbi Akiva had to that Rabbi Gamliel had to worry about Baltiach because it had a din of tztaka. So this is fascinating. What's the status of Maaser Ani? Is Maaser Ani Maser, or is it Staka? And the Nafkamin is Baltiacher, because in Masros, you could wait until Zman Abir, and maybe even later, I don't know, you have to know the Dinim until you violate Baltiacher. But in Staka, Baltiacher is always Miyad. So the moment you Mafrish Staka, you have to give the you have to give it over to the Aniyim. Yeah, but as far as Rabbi Kiva is concerned, he is the Gabbai Staka representing the Aniyim. Ah, so that would solve his problem of Baltiach. No, he doesn't have to get into the hands of any particular Ani, as long as he gets into the hands of the Aniyim, and that he can do by giving it over to Rabbi Akiva. Because since Rabbi Akiva represents the Aniyim, then it's as if the Aniyim, as a group, as a whole, now have the tztaka. So that's enough to remove Baltiach there. But what about the Maaser Rishon? The Maaser Rishon Lechor would not be a problem of Baltiach. So why was he so machpid to transfer ownership on the Maaser over to Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya? The answer is because Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya was not only a Levi, but he was also an Ani. So this is a lump to Shishayu. What's the status of Maaser Rishon that's designated for an Ani? He's a Levi and he wears two hats. He's a Levi and he's an Ani. Do you call it Maaser Rishon, or do you call it Staka? Or do you call it both? And the Mayan HaChachma says you call it both. This is wild. Because that means that when you're Mafrish Maaser, we're talking about Maaser Rishon now, not Maaser Ani, and you designate it for a Levi who's an Ani, it gets a new din. In addition to being Maaser, it takes on the status of Staka. And the Nafkavita is that you gotta get it over to him immediately, because otherwise you're gonna violate Baltiach. Okay, Rabosa, we'll stop here. And I wish everyone a great day. Those who can stay a little bit, we have a sugya called Shavya Nafshi Haticha Disu. So I don't know if you have these pages. I know we photocopied them. And that's good. Yechiel, I just wanted to tell you that I looked over this Avodas HaMelech.